Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Is enough being done to deal with abuse being hurled at referees? It's something that Yvonne Redden has been writing about in the Irish Examiner. Yvonne, what's your experience of this?
Hiya, Andrea. Thanks for highlighting this topic as well. It's an interesting one, isn't it? And it was brought to my attention by referee Patrick Osborne, who's he's written and directed a short film about it. My own experience, my oldest boy is 22, and I remember going to his football games when he was younger and just being like gobsmacked waiting at the sidelines there watching. You know, it's so intense, and the language and the aggro and the anger that was on the sidelines for me, it did stop me, and I stopped going to the matches. I just couldn't handle it. And
just completely stopped, Yvonne.
Yeah, I did. I just couldn't do it. And I think there was lots of fighting afterwards in the club, in the rooms, the dressing rooms, and I remember my son, you know, in the throes of it, because that's the way they all behaved, you know, and I thought, no, this isn't for me. I couldn't deal with it. And my younger son, I have prevented him from taking on football, I think, because of that, you know. It did leave a bit of a scar, I have to say.
And sorry, so, go back, Yvonne, you know, who was fighting? Players or people
the
on the sidelines?
Afterwards, that's the people on the sidelines, the parents. You know, sometimes the parents are worse than the players. Yeah, along the sidelines, I mean, there's definite aggro there. And then afterwards, my son would tell me that there was murder in the changing rooms with the players, fighting amongst each other and whatever. You know, so there was a mix of both, you know, with the clubs and on the sidelines. For me, that was my experience years ago. Mm. So I just stopped going. And my young lad is mad into football, you know, and it does prevent me. I think you really need a thick skin to be a player in a club, and also as a mother watching your son and all that. You know, you do need a thick skin. And the referees obviously need an even thicker skin, I presume. You know, this is what I found out from the article anyway. It's quite intense for them.
Just when you mentioned that, Paddy Osborne, who has been a referee in Kerry for about 12 years, is with us here, Yvonne, as well, on the line. Paddy, just outline, like, what kind of incidents or what sort of stuff do you put up with?
How are you doing, Andrea?
Good.
Yeah, it's a very, very important topic. And we feel it's getting worse. So we'll say, like the first thing I would try to say is that the adults have to just take a step back. It's not about them. Let the kids play. If you get it right at that level, as them kids grow up then to become young adults, they learn how to behave. So, you know, the abuse, you get the abuse on the sideline, verbal. Sometimes it's snide remarks. It wouldn't even be, you know, roaring and shouting, but there is roaring and shouting. You can have threats of physical violence. Then you can actually have physical violence. I've been very fortunate now. I've been refereeing 12 years. I've been involved with the game probably, I don't know, 45 years.
Are you there?
A support. Yep.
No, go on ahead, Paddy. Yeah, just drop for a moment. Go on ahead.
Yeah. So I've been supporter, player, manager, coach, you know, I've seen my own kids play. And, like, there's a huge lack of knowledge, first of all, from a lot of the sideline. You know, they don't know the rules. A lot of the people, the rules are updated, they don't follow them. So then they're roaring and shouting over incidents, wondering why the referee is not giving a free for this, that and the other. And it might be that the actual laws of the game have changed. The other thing is that people have an unrealistic expectations of what one person can do and see in a game.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm looking one way, I can't see what's going on behind me, you know, and so forth. But as I said, the adults really need to take a step up and say, hold on, why are the kids playing sport? Like, do they think they're all going to become Premier League stars? Okay, that's a nonsense. Even if the best of the best kids that get brought over, say, to the likes of English clubs, I think it's 1 in 1,000 of them would actually ever play in the Premier League. And they're the best kids. Think of the best kids at any club, you know, and they, most of them will not make it. You know, they won't make it. So therefore, why are the kids playing sport? Should be about enjoyment, exercise,
so
making friends.
What sort of age group? Sorry, it's soccer, Paddy, is it, that you referee? Yeah. And what sort of age group are we talking about?
The lower the age actually can be worse. You know, I think I found probably under 12, kind of even, you know, it sounds mad, can be some of the worst. The reason being, I think, is that at that age, a lot more parents attend the matches. And again, a lot more of them would have aspirations that the kids probably are going to become, you know, the next Ronaldo or whatever.
The parents are reliving their own youth, are they, through the children?
Yeah. And some of them have never even played a game. They haven't a clue what's going on. But as I said, I can understand people's passion. I love passion. I love passion to the sport, as I said. It was a player, a coach, a manager. But don't cross the line, you know. Like, don't make it personal about the referee. You have to realise that, as I said, they're one person and they can only do so much. You know, we all give out sometimes on the television when referees get the decision wrong and they have these professional linesmen and the VAR and people still can't agree. Now, imagine you're on your own in the middle of that pitch and you're expected to get everything right. That's it. You won't. It's life. You're a human being. And as I said, like the most successful clubs in this country have a thing called, a code of conduct. And they get players, parents and coaches to sign it. And then if they breach that code of conduct, there's repercussions. Mm. And if the repercussions are severe enough to get rid of them. So just give you a quick one that I know a club, one of the most successful clubs in Ireland, they have this code of conduct policy. And one of the years, six players were asked to leave the club. Now, they've several hundred players playing for the club. Six players were asked to leave the club. And out of the six players, it was because of the parents of five of them players acting, ridiculously.
So it's the players that they put out of the club rather than the parents that were acting
up? Yeah, but they're the guardians there. You mean, you can't have, you know. So the best thing is, when there's toxicity like that, get rid of it as soon as possible. Yeah. I would urge every club, you know, but to have that code of conduct.
So they don't all have this. They don't all have it then, Paddy, no?
No.
And that's
no,
the problem, no. Is it?
That's a huge problem because, again, if you have that in place, and then if there's something that, you know, like I've ref matches where you'd have parents roaring and shouting on the sideline, right? And you'd say to the coach, you know what I mean, can you calm these down or whatever? And they say, there's nothing we can do. And it could be their friend, like, you know, it could be their kid might pal with that kid of the other parent, you know, so it's pretty tough.
People listening to you today, Paddy, my daughter was a referee at an underage soccer match. She was reffing an under-10 game and the abuse coming from the sidelines was shocking. It was actually grown adults shouting at her and criticising everything, adults. So she gave it up. She gave up because of it. Another texter.
Adults.
Yeah, I was a ref for years. I used to send parents out of the pitch. The same mouths all the time. During one match, I walked over to a particularly bad parent on the sideline, handed him the whistle and said, sure, if you know so much about it, you go out and do it. Yeah, I got in the car and I drove home. Another listener. My son was punched by an opposition player shaking hands at the end of the game. The ref said he didn't see it, had to step back when her son... Hard to step back when your son gets attacked like that. So, Yvonne, this code of conduct that Paddy has mentioned, is that, why isn't that being rolled out then countrywide?
And I'll just mention here, Gareth Clark messaged me. He's interviewed in the piece as well. He's based in Liverpool, but from Derry. Even on Sunday, it's not just the sidelines and the parents. A female adult player who was shown dissent towards him, and he had to respond by giving her a 10-minute sin bin, which is a cool off for 10 minutes, and then you come back on. And he was called everything under the sun by her as she walked off. And he had to give her a red card for using offensive and abusive language. But, you know, fining is probably not the answer, but the sanctions on the clubs might kickstart them putting more emphasis on controlling their players' actions towards players and referees. So it is not just the parents on the sidelines. I mean, that has to be, you know, said today as well. It is the players as well not having that respect for the referees too. You know, so there's a code of conduct there on both sides, really, isn't there?
Paul Toot is a representative of the Irish Soccer Referee Society. Paul, why don't more clubs then issue sanctions like has been mentioned?
Hiya, Paddy, Yvonne and Andrea. Well, we I represent the Irish Soccer Referee Society. We have about 1,000 members and we've worked very well with the FAI, which is obviously the parent organisation. And we have very strict sanctions in the last 3 to 4 years. Only recently there was a 5-year suspension given to a player for an assault. The FAI have set up a disciplinary control unit, which is an independent control unit. And we feel we've been working very well with it as regards suspensions and sanctions for players and coaches. Parents, we cannot deal with the parents, but we can sanction clubs if parents are not behaving as they should be. Really, it's all about respect, respecting each other, referees respecting players, players respecting referees, managers respecting referees, parents respecting referees. We see it in rugby. There's a lot more respect for rugby referees, but for some reason, when it comes across to soccer or football and GAA, there seems to be a lack of respect. It's going to take a long time, I think, to get there, but I think we can get there slowly.
Well, just when you say that, Joe is with us on the line. Joe, I believe you are a rugby referee, is that right?
That's correct, Andrea. Yep.
Yeah. So what's your experience, Joe?
Well, Andrea, I was the North East representative for Leinster Rugby Referees for 5-6 years. And in that time, I was involved in appointing to youth level and some adult level. I would say overall, I probably had about 6 referee abuse in that time. You'd have 1 or 2 a year in my area.
Mm.
And the association has a zero tolerance on it. If a report goes in or somebody abuses a referee, first thing you do is, can I have your name? You stay really calm. And then a report goes in. And like the Soccer Referee Association, we have a whole policy there that follows on through the club and through the individual as well, that the individual can be sanctioned away from rugby clubs, plus the club can be, if it's a repeat offender. So it's there is a whole policy there with the IRFU that when I sign up each year, I have to sign up on a form each year, and I consent that I will not abuse any match officials. As an official myself and as a coach or as a representative of the club. So that's all in an IRFU format form. And if you disobey that or something comes to light that you've done, brought the game into disrepute, you can be sanctioned for it.
So are there stricter sanctions in rugby then?
Well, there is. But again, Andrea, with rugby, it's nearly self-policing at times because the clubs don't want to see it. Like, I'm a supporter, I'm a referee, I was a coach, and, you know, you applaud, I'd be at youth games, and you applaud both sides, and I think, I heard one of the refs saying, and he's dead right, at under-13s and under-14s, it's a little bit more because they haven't had referees, and they think that the laws are slightly different, you know, and they can get, they're looking for their Brian O'Driscoll or Johnny Sexton. You know what I mean? And they don't think the laws apply to them. But the respect for the officials in rugby is far higher than Gaelic football and that soccer. I was asked in my tenure, would I become a GAA referee? And I said, absolutely no way. Because I'd be throwing half the crowd out of the pitch. Like
you wouldn't put up with it.
No, if an individual abuses me from the sideline and takes it personally to me, I can actually stop the game and I can have that person ejected, whether it be under 13 level or adult level. So that person, the game will no longer continue until the individual is removed from the ground.
So, Paddy, when you're listening to Joe, what more can be done then? Or, like, is it just a case that you guys as individuals need to take a stronger position on it? Or are there enough supports for you?
No, I think like what Paul said with the Irish Soccer Referee Society, they're doing brilliant work. The FAI are doing brilliant work, you know. So we have all these modules. We have all this training. You know, we have all this in place. And as I said, we're very professional as an organisation in how we go out and handle ourselves. But unfortunately, that is not always reciprocated from the people we're going out to officiate over. So the clubs, again, like that chap said, the rugby chap, like that the clubs are self-police and they're self-regulating, and they don't want any hassle, and they'll come down hard on their own members who breach them rules. But unfortunately, with soccer, that doesn't exist in a lot of cases, and it's kind of she laughed off and this, that, and the other. Sure, what can we do and stuff? Now, if I get any abuse, I will take action, but it's very difficult if you have a person in the crowd shouting something And as I said, it's very hard to stop that game or take action against that person. I can't physically admit that person from the ground. Mm. Now, I can ask the coaches. Now, if it's very abusive, I will say, well, I'm not putting up with that anymore. No. Either you get rid of that person or I'm walking out of here. I'm stopping the game. But it would be far easier if there was policies in place from the clubs. As I said, the FAI are doing the best. The Referees Association are doing the best. But I think the clubs need to up their game and follow the leadership of some of the top clubs in this country who have these brilliant policies in place.
Yeah, it's up to the clubs. Under 8s boys match last weekend, says this listener. The parents were shouting, the coaches were shouting. The whole thing was disgusting. The same clubs, these are the same clubs that have the silent sideline signs displayed, apparently. Adults living through their children, let them play and stay away. Another texter starts at nursery level. I attended an under 8 blitz recently in Westmeath, and one of the coaches of the clubs had a terrible attitude and lack of respect towards the opposition and volunteers who were refereeing the little matches. The attitude moves through the generation. It's a culture thing in the GAA for sure. This texter says the standard of refereeing, especially underage, is as bad as I can see. My parents get angry when they get so obvious the fouls and the kids getting hurt, and some referees are actually quite biased, says this texter. And finally, for the moment, the coaches and managers set the tone in football and at GAA games. I've seen both sides give respect and get respect, but a lot of the parents living their dreams through their children. The teams could learn a huge amount from rugby, but the GAA and the FAI are too slow to take any action over these incidents. Points deduction and bans would go a long way to stop this. 087 1400 106. That's the WhatsApp number. That's Yvonne Redden, Paddy Osborne, Paul Toot, and also Joe as well. Thanks a million for getting in touch.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.